Hi, I'm Karina Wood, and I'm Tammy's counterpart, kind of thing, in Rhode Island. I coordinate the Tobacco Free Rhode Island. It's a network of about 50 organizations, similar to what you have here in Massachusetts. And I'm also the policy director for Rhode Island for the American Lung Association. And I'm from Providence, so thanks for the shout out before to Providence. We're psyched that we beat Big Tobacco in court, and our city's ordinances banning sweet and cheap flavored tobacco in all stores in all of Providence is upheld, and the discounting strategies all banned, so that's great. And I'm very excited that Cheryl is coming to speak at our first local policy summit that our coalition is holding on the 15th of November, and we're going to learn about all the great things you do here in Massachusetts and try and apply them to the already good things we're doing at the municipal level in Rhode Island, but expand, because I think Massachusetts, I'll say it, I think you are number one in the tobacco control and prevention work, and we are very proud to be your neighbor state. So, Big Tobacco's e-cigarette bill, a wolf in sheep's clothing. I am going to tell you just one story from our state that I know is happening all across this country, so you can be on the lookout for it, or you can share with us if this has been happening in your state. It's a story about how one of the big tobacco giant four, R.J. Reynolds, maker of the Vuse e-cigarette, crafted state legislation, promoted it in Rhode Island, making it look like it was a bill like Rep. Sanchez's bill, made it look like it was about protecting children from e-cigarettes, when actually it was all about protecting the tobacco industry from regulation. A very different thing. I have no disclosures to make. So how did we get into this situation? As you probably know, and if you heard the panel yesterday in this room on e-cigarettes, we are currently in a situation where we have no federal regulation of e-cigarettes. As you may know, in 2009, Congress passed the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act that gave the FDA authority to regulate all tobacco products. But as you heard from Cheryl and others, the tobacco makers have sued the FDA, and we are still waiting for FDA. Although they've said they intend to regulate, they have not come out with their regulations yet of e-cigarettes. But we are hoping that they will regulate them as tobacco products. But as Tobacco Products Director for the Center, Mitch Zeller, said yesterday, we have a situation right now where the e-cigarette world is the wild, wild west. There is no sheriff in town. They do not have to disclose what's in these products, and there is no federal oversight and regulation. So with no sheriff in town, Big Tobacco has been taking the initiative, promoting state legislation all across the country in 2012 and 2013 that looks like it's protecting kids, setting an age limit. You can't sell e-cigarettes to under 18s. But really, in the details of the bill, you will see that it's about setting up obstacles to the future regulation and taxation of this new product. So how did we discover this? In early 2013, companion bills prohibiting the sale of e-cigarettes to minors were filed in Rhode Island. And at first glance, the health department and our advocates and our coalition looked at this and we said, oh, that's great. Somebody's introduced a bill to protect the kids from this brand new product that's being rapidly marketed. But we got a little suspicious when we saw who the sponsors were. And you may be familiar with this kind of story. We're like, the Senate Majority Leader and the House Finance Committee Chair, who have never supported any tobacco control legislation in the past and who hadn't reached out to any of us for input on the bill. Little suspicious. And then we made further inquiries and found out that the R.J. Reynolds lobbyist was visiting the offices and was coming to testify all the way from Winston-Salem up to little old Rhode Island. And we're thinking, he has to come all the way to Rhode Island to help us protect our kids from a new product? Not sure about that. And then we made some more inquiries. As Tammy was saying, we all talked to each other. I reached out to colleagues in other states. My colleagues in Rhode Island reached out to other states. And lo and behold, we found a national strategy that R.J. Reynolds were promoting similar, sometimes identical bills in at least 27 other states around the country. And when we had the first hearing on the bill, the R.J. Reynolds lobbyist himself quoted 35 states. Now, I don't think they passed the bill, their bill, in that many states. By the time we were in our hearings in May and June, they had only passed it in 3 states. I'm not quite sure where we are now. And so the industry was pushing this bill, very suspicious about it, and the vaping community, the advocates that you heard about from Rep. Sanchez, and they're very, very, very organized. And CASA, the organization you mentioned yesterday, these are these consumer advocate associations. They seem like fronts for the industry. I have no doubt that they have real people involved, and some of the people are very passionate. It's like, we want to vape, and, you know, we own a store, and we just started an e-cigarette store in Rhode Island. We're doing economic development. These are jobs, and we're helping people to quit smoking, and they're very vocal at these hearings, and they're local people, and they're passionate. So this is happening. But still, this is what we were up against, the 50 Shades of Grey thing about the tactics. It's very hard to argue against a bill that looks like it's about protecting the kids. The sponsors say it's about the kids. The advocates say it's about the kids. And yet, so what we were up against was, how do we craft a message that cuts through this very straightforward and appealing soundbite that the industry and the sponsors of this bill have come forward with? Because what we had to convey was something quite complicated, that why we were against this bill was that what it actually did in the language of the bill was it created a separate definition in state law for e-cigarettes, distinct and apart from all other tobacco products, which would provide a basis in law for the industry's public relations campaign that e-cigarettes are not tobacco. So it would make it law, codify in law what they were saying publicly. This isn't tobacco. This is a new thing. This is good for you. And more importantly, it would protect e-cigarettes from the strict regulations and high taxation that cigarettes and other tobacco products are subject to. Rep. Sanchez's bill here in Massachusetts makes e-cigarettes a tobacco product, and that's why that's a good approach in our view. This bill looked like it was protecting kids, but really it was about setting up a separate definition for these products so that it was an obstacle to their future regulation and taxation. Once we figured this out, that was quite a mouthful, what I just said. Can you imagine saying that to legislators who really don't have the time, who just listened to the majority leader, that his bill, and he says this is about protecting the kids? It was pretty difficult. So then we came to the power of visuals. And our first hearing in the front of the Senate Finance Committee, I took this sign. We have a big blow-up poster of this photo, and you may recall these are the tobacco execs lying before Congress. And some of us went to testify from the Cancer Society, Heart Association, Lung Association, and others. I held up this image, and I just said, listen, this is a complicated bill. You've just heard from the R.J. Reynolds lobbyist telling you this is all about protecting kids, and we shouldn't pay too much attention to the definition complications in the bill that these people are telling you about, because they're just muddying the waters. And I said, who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust R.J. Reynolds, who last time they came before you, legislators, lied that they didn't know that nicotine was addictive and they were not deliberately marketing their products to kids? Are you going to trust this guy here and his industry? Or are you going to trust the 3 or 4 of us sitting here before you from the public health advocacy community? That's the basis that you need to decide, because we're telling you something important, and this will have huge repercussions for the future. So that argument, I think, of who do you trust really did sway the day and got the legislators to then look at the language. You've got to get their attention first, and then they will take a look, and then they will believe you that something's going on. But the visuals and the trust, I think, was a big way forward. So we didn't win the battle. We won some battles, but not the whole war in the floor of the legislature. The House Finance Committee chair did listen to us, and he dropped his bill. And he agreed to work with us on a better bill that we're now in the process of drafting, one that really is about protecting minors from e-cigarettes and doesn't do all of the other stuff. So, and we're very inspired by your bill, and we're telling him about it, and we're working forward on that basis. The Senate passed the bill. The lobbying was very strong. The tobacco industry has their friends, believe me. So, but the good part of the success was that our trust argument and our good names won the day with the governor. It got us in the door to talk to him and his policy staff, and he got it, and he vetoed the bill. So I guess the story here, to wrap it up, is to say, look at the details, see what their tactics are. It's all common sense. Look at who's introducing the bills, listen to their tactics, but the using of the children was really clever. Cloaking their bill in a child protection language and then hiding language in there that would have enormous repercussions for the way that we regulate and protect kids and others from this new product, all with little language changes in one line. I mean, it's very important that you pay attention and that we all talk to each other and share what's going on and find out that this is happening all across the states. And hopefully we'll have a new bill and we'll get it passed in 2014. And we look forward to finding out what happens in Massachusetts and other states. Thank you.
Thank you.